Welcome to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa, and what a week we've had. We've had an amazing week. It's been a little crazy. It's been a little crazy all around the world. My heart goes out to, I wish I could say more than just my heart, but Iran, all of the children were just buried out there, and that is just, I'm ashamed to say that I'm an American right now. I really am. I know we can do better. I know we will. But my heart as a mother does go out to all the mothers that had to bury their child, which I know it's wrong in every way, and no mother should ever have to endure that pain. Don't wish that on any mother, no matter where you're from. So, with that being said, I know the difference it makes to spread positivity in the world, and I know the difference it makes when you start focusing on what is good versus what's wrong by trying to find the best in every situation. And that's exactly what I want to do with this episode. I think I am a great example of not letting situations, people, negative things that life can throw your way determine your outcome, determine your life, determine how you show up every single day. Because like I said before, everyone has problems, everyone has issues, and everyone can just sit there and throw themselves a pity party if we really wanted to. But that does not make this world better. This does not benefit you or anyone around you. So, I wanted to talk about the power of a woman, a goddess. When you're in your feminine energy, when you're happy with yourself, when you have done the work, when you're showing up every day for you, whether it's at the gym, at work, mentally, physically, emotionally, you start to vibrate on a different frequency. You start to shine brighter than ever simply because you start to fill your cup up. And when that happens, you are going to attract a lot of people because bright women attract everybody. Women that are vibrating and shining and, you know, just smell good, are good, just have this aura about themselves, attract a lot of people. Lovers, leeches, leaders, lustful souls. And that doesn't mean that they're allowed to be in your energy and in your bubble, because a lot of people are going to want to come and see what it is that you're doing, and it's simply just working on you. Part of the people that you're going to attract are going to be men and women who want to stand next to your light, because a lot of them crave that. They want to stand next to your light. They want to be part of your light because they crave that. When you are being successful, when you are doing something powerful, people are going to want to come and say, oh, here, let me add this, let me add that, let me be part of this, let me be part of that. A lot of the times, this is when you have to protect yourself the most, because people like to latch on to light that they don't have. And then they see it, and then you light some, when you come around them, that light shines so bright, you're going to light something in them, and it's going to spark an idea. And then they're going to want it. Take more of that light. We all have someone that you come around and you're just like, oh, I feel drained after I hang out with them. And then we all have some friends that you come around and you're like, man, I just feel recharged. I have all these ideas, because they're feeding off that energy. And this episode is for women who forgot. And some of us, after shining so much for others, we forget that we are the blessing. Women forget that we are the blessing. They are lucky to have us. They are lucky to be around us. So if you forgot, let me remind you, you are not too far gone. The light is within you, and we're gonna find it right now. Because I was in that same exact position. I've went through this time and time again, and I'm learning how to protect that light now more than ever. Especially when you have to refill your light over and over again. When I met my ex, I had been single for like 2 years, dating here and there, meeting people type of thing. But I was happy with me. I was single and I was happy to be single. I was single and I was enjoying being single. And that is when you find them. So right now that I am enjoying being single, I'm very picky of who, like, I'm gonna say I'm picky, because I don't think I'm super picky. I think I'm just more of like cautious about, wait, is this at risk of my light being sucked away? Because like I said, I've I've been there before. So at the time, I think I was 27. I had been working on myself for 2 years. I had started the car business. I was doing things that people in the car business don't do, especially within a year of joining the car business. Not even. I think I had joined the car business maybe 4 months prior to meeting them. And I was running credit. I was stocking cars. I was literally talking to banks, something that management only does. And unfortunately, I had to learn this because my manager was not the best managers and didn't want me to succeed. So he thought that by letting me do this, I was going to fail. But when you are the oldest and you have to figure it out, you don't fail. Failing is not an option. So I figured it out. I already knew how to run credit, all three credit bureaus. I knew how to stock cars. I knew how to get trades. I knew how to do so much of the back end stuff, as well as sell a car. Maybe not as well as selling a car, but I knew so much in the back end that I was very self-sufficient. I met my ex. They didn't really know any of that stuff. They had been in the car business for years, and their expertise was to be on the phone, sell the car, present the sale, things like that. And because of the way the car businesses ran, they still weren't at the level of talking to banks, pulling credit, doing all the back end yet. They were just learning that. So to them, it was like, wow, shocking. You know how to do this. That's amazing. You're such a boss. To me, it was like, oh my God, you're so great with customers. Let me learn. So it was right away, it was a give and take relationship. It was like, look, I need to learn this. Teach me and I'll teach you what I know. So I was already shining in my little light. I was already happy. I had been working on myself for 2 years. I had already traveled. I already knew the difference. My standards were already set. Like, I knew the difference between good tequila and cheap tequila. Not just because someone raps about it, does it make it good. I'm talking about Patron right here. So many people rapped about Patron in the 2000s, and it was just like, it still is the crappiest, one of the crappiest tequilas out there. And I knew this a long time ago. I already had my passport. I already had so many high standards that when I met this person, that is exactly what they were attracted to. It was my persona. Who I was. A lot of women out there are very, very well off, are very, very well educated, are very family oriented, and have so many amazing qualities that when they find a high valued man, for example, or just a man with money, the man automatically thinks like he has so much to give just because they have money. And it's not the money itself. Not only that, think about it. Why, if he was so well off and he was such a high value man, obviously he's going to be attracted to you because he sees something there in you, in your light, in your power. And I know so many women that have their own jobs, are just killing it out there. And they meet someone and that person is like, oh, I love how you're so powerful and so such a go-getter and you're the life of the party. And then that's what they want to date you. And then you start dating them and then they start to, oh, well, maybe you should stop working. Or maybe I should take care of you. Or maybe this or maybe that. And little by little, they start to try to trap that light of yours. They try to keep it in a box. And without oxygen, the light's going to go out. And then they want to say, oh, well, look at you. You're not the same anymore. You're not this anymore. You're not that. Well, because you stopped doing everything that made you you. Because little by little, you stop. For example, me. I stopped doing all the things that made me, that made my shine brighter. Granted, It's never right off the bat. First is one thing, then another. Then maybe you should have a baby. Maybe you should do this. Maybe you should stay home. Maybe you shouldn't go back to work. I am an extrovert. I need people to be able to recharge myself. And so those little things started dimming my light. At the same time, I was also just recovering from giving birth. So all these things come together and then they blame you for you not having, not shining as bright. And so they're like, well, I'm not attracted to you anymore. You're not the same person. Well, no, you just little by little poked away at that person. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I've always been a high-spirited woman. I meet people nowadays. They're like, dude, you're so cool. Thank you. I know. I'm back. My sisters, they're high-spirited women. My mother, we definitely got this from her. High-spirited women. And I'm not saying louder or like, you know, out in the streets kind of party animals. No, we know how to party, but we know how to do it eloquently. We know how to carry ourselves so well that You are the life of the party, even in your own quiet self. And high-spirited women radiant warmth, confidence. So many possibilities. So that's why so many people are attracted to this type of woman. People are drawn to that, especially men who probably don't have that same freedom or energy inside them that they crave. I wish I was a little more like that. Let me go and hang out with her. Let me go and see what is there. And that's not always what they want. But because it's so new and rare, they're still attracted to it. Some people see your light and will celebrate it. Some people want to see your light and they'll try to consume it. And the more powerful the woman, the more likely it is you will attract both these type of people. Sometimes you'll offend them because you're so... Sometimes your light will offend them and people will be like, I just don't like her. And you've never done anything to them. And you're just like, I don't know their problem. I don't really care anymore. But I do see, like one of my friends, she has this amazing energy. She is a go-getter, whatever she touches. Her and her sister, same vibe. We're very different, yet her energy is there. Her energy is amazing. Okay, so many guys are just like, oh my God, they want to be part of her life and attracted to her and her business, and everyone just drawn to her because of that same energy and light that she carries. And sometimes it's easy for us to forget because so many people want to tell you how to navigate your light, how to go about it, but you have to be careful and remember to look inside you, listen to you, and follow your path. A lot of guys, once they start dating these kind of women, start to get jealous. And then you think like, wait, why are you jealous? I'm like, I'm not changed. I'm always the same. But because they don't have the light and they see how bright your light is, they start to get jealous of you. They start thinking, oh, she's going to leave me for someone else. And it's their own insecurities. This is when they start to try to change you. Oh, don't be as loud or don't be as cool as you were, or don't talk to so many people, or maybe you shouldn't go back to work type of thing. These are all things that insecure people around you will try to do to try to keep your light to themselves because they're afraid, they're scared. Someone who shines as bright as you is always gonna encourage you. Like, go ahead, do it, try it. I believe in you. Someone who really, really, really wants to be part of your light and help you grow your light will never tell you to shut up or be quiet or don't be too loud or you're too much. If anything, they will support you and encourage you, especially when you're out in a crowd, especially when you're in front of people. If ever something does go past the line or if ever they do feel offended, then the right way to do it is, hey, when you go back home, hey, by the way, maybe this time around we won't do this. Or by the way, I felt this way. What did you think? Did you think it was too much? You'll have a conversation of it. It's never going to be like, oh, it's my way or the highway. Because that's just not how they are. Because someone who's confident in themselves and understands their power will never project or assume those kinds of things. Like, for example, I've never worried about what someone else thinks of me, except for my family, which is like my sisters, my mothers, and stuff like that. And even that, I'm trying to learn and be better and trust myself even more to not care what my brothers and sisters and mother thinks of me. And it sounds bad, but I mean it in a sense where I trust myself so well that I know I would never offend them. I know nothing I do will ever offend them or will ever be questioned by them. Because one, I know and trust myself, and two, they know and trust me. Like my values, my morals, my character. Like Dr. Seuss quote says, those that matter don't care, and those that care don't matter. I love Dr. Seuss. We should do an episode on him, how amazing he was. So that's how it started. So let's go back to the relationship. That's how we met. The relationship started as a friendship, as let me show you, let me teach you, let's go back and forth. It was a give and take. She just wanted to learn. She was just like, there's so many things that she never tried, never opened to, never had, that I was like, honestly, like, I don't even think we're going to be friends because, like, we have nothing in common. Like, nothing that you do interests me, really, and everything that I do, you've never tried. You don't even speak Spanish. But she was like, I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna try She had never eaten sushi. She had never drank beer. She had never been to Mexico. And so she was like, you know what? I'll try beer. And then that's how she started. I'll try sushi. Okay. I'll try ceviche. I'll try aguachiles. And next thing you know, we're in Mexico. And we've been hanging out for so long because she was just learning and taking. Which, by all means, she also gave me a lot back in the beginning of the relationship, such as she's always been very positive, like such a go-getter, taught me how to not question myself so much, how to love my body for itself, how to love and be okay with having fun days. I was the kind of person that felt so guilty for taking a day off or so guilty for going out and partying and taking a weekend off in Vegas type of thing. I felt guilty. I felt like I shouldn't be doing that. I should be spending my money somewhere else, or I should be giving it to my mom, or I should be saving it. Like, I felt guilty for doing things like that because that's how I was raised. I was raised where if you're bored, you clean. There's no time off. It's not okay to just take a lazy day or a mental day. These things didn't exist back then, especially for Mexicans. They still don't exist. These things don't exist. And so she taught me how it was okay to be fun, and it was okay to be free, and it was okay to spend your money on splurging simply because you can. I mean, of course, after the rent's paid. But because you can. Because you deserved it, because you worked hard. I remember someone told me they collected shoes, like Jordans and all these stuff, and he was like, what do you collect? And I was like, nothing. He's like, what do you buy yourself? And I was like, nothing. He's like, that's a reflection of how much you value yourself. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you don't think you're worthy of having something for you? I was like, oh, I never thought of it that way. I thought of it like, ¿para qué desperdiciar? ¿Para qué arrojar tantos zapatos? The way my mom taught me, the way I was raised. So all of that, I learned as I made more money in the car business, dealing with people who money wasn't an issue because they had a different mindset, mentality about it. They were not afraid to say, I want more money. I deserve more money. I want to buy all these nice things because I can, because I want to. That's where I learned the mentality switch. My mentality switched from, I want enough money for the rent to be paid, for the bills to be paid, and for there to be food in the fridge. No, I want enough money to party, to go to Vegas, to, of course, for all the other stuff to be paid and bills to be paid. But I also want more because I simply want it. Because it's okay to want it. Because saying I'm broke doesn't make you a better person than the other person next to you. Saying I want to travel the world. I want to make the most out of the sales team here. That concept I also learned from her. So, like I said, in the beginning of the relationship, it was very, very a give and take in different aspects of it. Her taste expanded. My taste expanded. Actually, I ended up liking margaritas. I used to not like margaritas. Now I do. But the beginning was a give and take relationship. We kept growing together. And little by little, as her career kept going, we realized that two people in the car business was not ideal to raise a family. Two people in the car business, we're never going to really see each other. And I decided to, because she had been in the car business for so long and she was already so far ahead, I decided to take a step back. And I was like, you know what? I can just go back to the bank, or I can just go back to school. And she was like, yeah, don't worry about it. Go back to the bank. So I knew that I was going to take a pay cut. I knew that I was going to make less money. But because the goal now was as a partnership for her to grow, for her to be the next step in the car business, for her career to advance, because eventually the idea was eventually we would want kids and I would be the one raising them. I would need the easy 9-to-5 job, the banker job, where I can pick up the kids, drop off the kids, and be there for the kids. That was the concept. That was the major plan. And of course, I was like, yeah, we're a team. I got this. Like, you go, girl, you be the boss of everything and everyone, because of course that looks great on her and that looks great on me. We are a team. And so that's when I started to take a step back, like going to the bank, like not working and going to school. From there, I worked at the bank. Then the time came to have babies. Who was going to have the baby? Of course, me. She could. It made sense. At the same time, I honestly didn't want to deal with a pregnant lady. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I don't think I I want to deal with a pregnant woman. I don't. You never know what you're going to get. I don't think I was that bad, but then again, I was pregnant, so I don't know. But I just knew myself that I couldn't deal with a pregnant woman. I'm the crybaby in the relationship, so that was easy. Then the baby came, and I did want, I've always wanted to go back to work. I love work. I love being busy. I love being self-sufficient. But in love and in this relationship, when they said, stay home, raise our child, you got this. In my mind, I was like, you know what? You're right. I do got this. Because no matter what I do, I'm going to be great at it. Especially if it comes to being a mom. I have an amazing role model. My mother is an exceptional mother when it comes to the household. I mean, there's still things that I'm like, I don't even know if I'm ever going to get to learn the way she cooks. Like, she's an exceptional homemaker that I, till this day, don't know if I'm ever going to be able to top that. Probably not. But I'm trying. I'm learning. And we're getting there. So, yes, of course, I said yes because it seemed ideal. Even though deep down in my heart, I was like, I don't know how long I'll be able to do this, though. Like, in my heart, I knew that. I know I can be a stay-at-home mom. I just don't know how long I can do it. And in my mind, I was like, well, as soon as he's like 3 or 4 and goes into school, then I can get a job again. He's only 2, so I still have that mindset. Maybe. We'll see. Actually, no. Nowadays, I believe that because of the company that I'm working with, I probably will never have to go back to work. I will do things that are enjoyable for me, like the podcast. But like a 9-to-5, yeah, I don't think that's me. That's not for me anymore. So I stayed home, decided to take a backseat, decided to encourage and support everything that she did. But slowly inside me, I kept feeling my own light dimish. Like my own light start to dim. I started feeling my own light start to dim. But the goal was always to support the family, whatever was best for my family. I knew that it was going to all pay off because that's the idea and that was what they kept painting. So I didn't mind taking a step back. I didn't mind giving up my body, my freedom, everything for my family, for the person I loved. Which is why even at the end when they broke up with me, I was so taken back because it's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm here giving everything I have left in me and somehow you don't feel appreciated, which was like a slap in the face. But with that being said, once that happened, once I moved out, once the fairy tale relationship fell apart, it took me a minute, but my life was as great or better again. Because it wasn't her money that made my life amazing and great. It was me. Did it help the lifestyle? Yes, of course. But I traveled before I met her. I had great dinners before I met her. I had luxury stuff before I met her. Like, that really didn't change so much for me at the end, afterwards. I was like that already. God just chose her as the middle person to give me that lifestyle for that time being. When that person was no longer there, God still finds a way to give me my lifestyle because it's who I am. It's what I embody. It's the way I show up. Yes, I bet on myself over and over again. Yes, I learn new skills over and over again. Because I know and I trust myself enough from my past experiences. Never have I given up on myself. Never have I given up on my family. That's never has been me and that's never going to be me. Because I've worked on me. So I left. It was scary. I didn't know who I was besides being a mom. All I knew was to be a mom for the last 9 months. And even having to share my son was a total heartbreak. And I was just like, all I'm good for is to be a mom right now, and you take him from me, like, then what am I? Like, the identity crisis was real. But I had to keep going. I had to push through. I had to rebuild little by little by little. Realize that, look, out of nowhere, I'm here. My life didn't fall apart. My life is not going to fall apart. And that's also when I realized that I didn't lose my life when I left. I got it back. So if you're in a place where you feel powerless, where you feel like your light is dimming little by little because you keep giving up parts of yourself to someone who maybe is not appreciating you enough, you're not powerless, you're just exhausted from carrying everyone. You didn't get lucky by finding someone that makes a lot of money, or if that's all it is, all they're good at is making money, then you better understand that that's all they're good at. And they also better understand that that's all they're good at. They're good at making money. And like my grandpa said, cualquier burro puede trabajar. Cualquier burro puede ganar dinero. Anybody can make money. But the luck that the family has, the luck that you bring into their life, is not from them. It's from you. You are the luck. You are the positive energy that helps that grow. My sister was just telling me about her college friend. She got married to this guy, and before she got married to him, he did construction. She went to college, very well educated woman, and she fell in love with this guy, and she's like, okay, cool, like, I love you, but this is what we're gonna do. You're gonna take your contractor license, you're gonna go to school, help them, guide them. Now he makes way more. He is very well off. But she was the driving force behind him. A good woman will always make you better. Don't forget that. Because so many men, like, for example, him, at any point, se le sube la cabeza, the whole idea, oh, I make so much money, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but don't forget how you got there. Don't forget who laid out the path and the plan for you. Because as soon as you do that, not me, not her, God will quickly redirect you. And I see this all the time. My dad, my mom stayed for so long because, yes, my dad was the breadwinner. My mom didn't really work. She worked a small part-time job. She took care of his home. She took care of his kids. And she did a damn good job at it, too. As long as he was good to her, he kept growing better, better, a house here. And the moment he forgot what her role was, what her power was, what she brought to the table. Well, I mean, if you don't know, my dad ended up homeless in the street and died as an alcoholic. I'm not saying that I wish that on my father at all. No, I did not. Because he knows I tried. He knows I was there for him more than once. We all were. But sometimes people, that kind of masculine energy, sometimes that masculine energy are so stubborn and dead on their I did not fuck up mentality that they rather die in the street than atone for their actions, than simply say, hey, I fucked up. Shit's going down the drain type of thing. And if you're a man and you're listening to this, or if you're a masculine energy and you are listening to this and you had someone there guide you along the way, hold your hand, show you, support you when you had nothing, don't ever forget that. Don't forget it. I'm not saying you're going to be in debt to them forever, but it's a give and take relationship. And the more you give to your woman, the more you give to that feminine energy in your life, the more you get. Because once again, it's all energy. It's reciprocity. The more kids you have, the more you make. Because it's all energy. They're all blessings. As a person who knows, like, hey, I have to have enough for all of this. How do I do it? I don't know, but it's there. Because God knows that this is what I need and this is what it's for. So it's going to be provided. And before you say, oh, it's all energy, that's not real. Hello, Albert Einstein. The light bulb. This is all energy. These are laws. They're there for a reason. Whether you believe them or not, you still live by them. If you jump off a building, you're going to fall, whether you believe in gravity or not. Remember, you didn't get lucky for attracting this man. You are the luck. And they noticed it. Or man or woman. But you get what I mean. You understand what I'm saying. If not, I mean the masculine energy. The one that is the provider. The one that wants to show up as the provider. You didn't get lucky. they got lucky with you. As a woman, you don't need to apologize. And I'm learning this too, because after rebuilding yourself, you just start to apologize way too much. So you don't need to apologize for being loud or soft when you want to. You don't need to apologize for being feminine. You don't need to apologize for being high maintenance. And yes, I am high maintenance. Because the man that I want, or the person that I want, the person that I want to attract in my life, is someone that can deal with the high maintenance woman. And trust me, they will not complain about that. They will be more than happy to provide. They will be more than happy to show up that way. The only people that complain about high maintenance women are men that don't have enough, or people that don't have enough to support them. If that's too much for you, then go find someone, you know, that you can afford. It's simple. It's like, you're going to buy what you can afford. If you can't afford the high maintenance one, then you just can't afford it. It's okay. Don't blame the woman, or don't blame the person for that. Go make more money. I've seen a lot of things on Instagram and TikTok about men that get so triggered and like, oh, so you want a prostitute? And I was like, why does it have to be that? Why is that your first thing? Oh, probably because you can't afford her. So don't apologize for being you. This is what we're going to do going forward. You're more than welcome to join me. If you feel a little lost, we're going to start giving back to ourselves. We're going to remember our power, remember who we are, remember where we come from. Some things I do is like, I traveled before them. I knew the difference between good or bad tequila before them. I always had enough to do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want before them. And I still do. I tell myself all the time, I am the blessing. I am the price. I am the luck. I am abundance. And simply for being in your life, that is what I'm going to bring to you. I love working out, and I love swimming, and I love hot yoga. And those are things that I did not do in the last 10 years being out there. So as soon as I got to the desert, I signed up for hot yoga. I started swimming lessons with my son. I started doing all these things that reminded me of who I was, what brought me joy. Climbing trees. I love climbing trees. When I was little, I used to climb everything I could. And that's just something that brings me back to me, my natural energy, my natural self. It might look different for you. You might be someone who likes to color and read books and play with cats. I don't know. But do what makes you you. Do what brings out that energy in you, that softness, that childlike personality that is the most authentic version of yourself. Whatever that looks like, that's what you need to do. These, look at all of these paintings of me. This is me when I was little. My mom made this one. Actually, I'm going to put this on Substack. If you guys are listening to the podcast, they will be on Substack for you guys to see the videos as well. But these are all the paintings that we did for my birthday. There's more up there. I want everyone around me to find and be happy with themselves. And I love that they are so into it. And it brings them back to their childhood-like personality. So, ladies, we're God's gift to Adam. However you want to put it. Don't forget that. Don't forget how powerful you are. Don't forget how beautiful you are. Don't forget how the world is lucky to have you. Okay? Speaking of God's gift to Earth, my cousin just gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. She, once again, brought life to this world as a woman. I am beyond proud of you, Belen. I love you. Can't wait to meet him. We literally bring life to this world. And sometimes we forget, and sometimes we get in our head, and I was there after postpartum, like, oh my God, I'm so big, I'm so this, I'm, you know, instead of switching it around and saying, I'm grateful for my body for bringing this beautiful soul into this world, this beautiful baby into this world. I did that. I did that. No one else could do that. I did it. Love on your woman if you have one. Appreciate your woman if you have one. Or your mother, sister, whoever's out there. Because women really are God's gift to Earth. So, if you're here to the end, thank you again for staying with me. Thank you for tuning in and hearing me every Thursday. And remember, unicorns do exist. You're listening to one. Bye.